Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Bob Kiewit. He's the Managing Director of Logistics Plus in Ireland. And Bob, first and foremost, very welcome to this interview.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Always welcome. People from Ireland are normally happy campers, so we like to have you here.
We enjoy the party.
Yeah, definitely you do. First and foremost, I always allow to say that or allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit on their background. What made you get into shipping and logistics in the first place? How come you're not, let's say, in a bank or in Google Ireland or something like that?
I think it was just the excitement of everything going on the high seas, really.
Yeah.
My grandfather would have worked back in the early 20th century as a seaman and worked on the Carpathia back in the 1920s. And then my father, yes, he enjoyed some boating in Drogheda, of course, my hometown. He just saw this advertisement for a shipping clerk when I was just out of school, and I just went for it, and never looked back. Really enjoyed this. It's a great industry, great people.
Yeah.
It gives you opportunity to go all around the world, which I have. I've worked in a number of continents now as well.
Okay.
And it's just brought me to the lifestyle that I've got used to now.
It's fantastic. Let me just a quick side question. You mentioned the Carpathia. That was the one that came to the rescue of Titanic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, but he actually wasn't on the Carpathia at that moment in time. It was a little bit after when he was actually on the Carpathia himself. He would have been a bit too young for it at that stage.
I can imagine. Incredible. Okay. As I understand, you're the MD of Logistics Plus in Ireland. What can you tell? I mean, give our viewers who might have or might not have heard the name of Logistics Plus just a quick overview of who are Logistics Plus, and then we can go into Ireland. Who are you?
Logistics Plus is a Erie, Pennsylvania headquarters global logistics provider. They are incredibly strong all across North America. The company was set up by Jim Berlin in the 1990s, and the COO is a gentleman, Yuri Ostapayek, as well. Mm-hmm. We have been expanding at rapid pace across the world over the last number of years in particular, after being mainly focused on North America for many, many years.
Yeah.
Now it's just rapid expansion across the world. We've got offices all across Europe now, offices down in Latin America. We've got offices in Southeast Asia. Australia was the new office that was opened up there recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually my good colleague, Michael Parnham, who actually introduced us.
That's right.
To join the network, Michael, everyone will know, was showcasing all the delicacies of Thailand there recently at your networking event.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
He's a great guy. Great guy.
He's active. But
he's active.
so Logistics Plus, how many offices you have globally where Ireland is then part of it?
Oh, that's a question I should know myself.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. At least now at this stage, I would say so.
And I have also noticed you've been very active in the last couple of years. And you took quite a few of my ex-colleagues from Martin Bencher, I can see. After
yes, indeed. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the guys are, a number of the guys are actually over in an office over in Kansas in the US.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guys who set up the office over in Scandinavia as well.
Yeah,
We've got a number of the guys and ladies, of course, from the ex Martin Bencher days. There, good people. They know exactly what they're talking about. So, from our perspective, building the Logistics Plus brand here in Ireland, we cover Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. But we're well able to assist in any endeavors into the UK as well. But our main focus is building up the product here in Ireland, north and south.
Just for the viewers to understand the political, not a long history lesson, but to understand Northern Ireland and Ireland, is there any border between there? Can you just drive across, or how does it work? There was a lot
yeah.
of...
Oh yes, around Brexit, there would have been a lot of turmoil, we'll say. There is a political border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, though the actual physical infrastructure of that border is no longer there. So you just drive freely across the border, and yeah, there is no border for every. So there's we're based in a city here up in the northwest called Derry, Londonderry, and a lot of the people. Who would work in the city here in Derry would actually live across the border in County Donegal.
There you go.
And then also you'd have a lot of people who would work over in, there's a fairly major town just across the border called Letterkenny, and a lot of people who would be living in Derry would actually work over in Letterkenny. So it's fairly fluid.
And of course the language is the same. There's no it's not suddenly that you talk with a different language.
Language the same, common law, everything is almost identical, and the tax bases, the tax systems are maybe slightly different for business, but in terms of business, it's really kind of considered as being an all Ireland entity, north and south. So Northern Ireland also has the added benefit of being in the United Kingdom and also being in the European Union at the same time.
That's pretty smart. Well, what does that mean for you in logistics on a practical basis?
Well, for companies who manufacture in Northern Ireland, it's just really given them it's given them the potential to export as a European Union country into the European Union without any duties and tariffs and any of that sort of challenges, we'll say.
That's interesting. And is it you are two guys there, or of course it's newly established. How many what is your
Yep. So we
headcount?
have a team of three. So
Three.
we've got yes, we've got a, we're a small team of three.
Yeah.
We have Nolene who is doing the finance, and we got Matthew also who works in our operations team as well.
Okay. And then
And then
you.
I kind of spare charge down the sales
Yeah.
and
And I suppose Ireland is not so often on a logistics map, if you know what I mean. If we say Germany,
no.
France, China, that's more on the map. But Ireland, you still have a fair number of relatively big companies. But do you have also production companies there? I mean, not only Google or who are registered there for whatever reason, but you have, let's say, machinery, plant equipment, you have stuff like that too, right?
So the Republic of Ireland, obviously the economies are very they've di diverged in a great way over the last 50 years or so. So the Republic of Ireland will be known for low corporation tax, and you'd have all the headquarters for the IT companies all based all the non-US headquarters IT companies based in Dublin there as well. You'd
Wonder
also
why.
have it's very heavy with pharmaceutical companies, and also it would be very strong with chemical companies then as well. Historically, Ireland also has Guinness, of course, and dairy produce and agricultural produce, so it's very well known worldwide for that, and seafood as well, of course. Northern Ireland, yes, it would have some dairy and agriculture, also a bit of alcohol as well. But what Northern Ireland has, and in particular an area of Mid Ulster, which would be west of, there's a great big loch in the center of Northern Ireland called Loch Ness. And west of that loch, towards our city here, Derry, south towards Omagh, which is about, let's say, 50 kilometers away or so, maybe 55 kilometers away, you've got a sort of an area. Of 50 kilometers each way on each side, and that in within that area there's a cluster of manufacturing companies, and they produce 60% of the world's mobile material handling machines.
Really?
So you've got power screens, you've got Terex, T-Sabs, McCluskey, Rocco's, you've got a huge amount of business. Obviously, in Northern Ireland, it's well known for the Titanic. You mentioned that I mentioned the Carpathia was the vessel that went back to the Titanic. So in Belfast, you've also got a cluster then of aerospace businesses then as well, BAE Systems as well. There used to be historically Michelin was a big employer in Ballymena, but you've also got bus manufacturers. So Northern Ireland has got a great deal of heavy industry
Okay,
companies
interesting.
and engineering companies,
Okay.
whereas the Republic of Ireland has more IT pharmaceutical companies.
Right. You certainly enlightened my know-how there. That's very impressive. I mean, you do have a wonderful island, and as I said to you before, I've met many many of your countrymen around the world. You seem to always be hanging around in the pub.
We have a very bad reputation.
Actually, no, you have a good one. Actually, I was just in New York a couple of weeks ago and visited St. Patrick's Cathedral. So that was
Oh, yes.
I saw
Yeah,
St.
of course.
Patrick's Day.
It's pretty wild over there, St. Patrick's Day.
Definitely. Do you have a lot of trade? Where would you say your biggest markets are? I mean, Logistics Plus, of course, is a project forwarder well known. Where would you say, maybe it's a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. Where's
Yeah,
mainly your business going to and from?
I think obviously the USA is a great big one for us as well. That's a pretty big one. And the United States is about it's the value is about 25% of all Irish exports goes to the United States, so it's pretty huge. Especially with the machinery types that I'm talking, these mobile material handling crushers, screeners, grinders, shredders. They're shipping everywhere. Middle East, unfortunately, at this moment in time, is a bit challenging. But the Middle East would have been a great market for these machines. Africa is a really, really building market. South Africa is another great opportunity there as well. Australia, New Zealand, and even Southeast Asia as well. And there's also a number of the companies here who are based in Northern Ireland are actually owned by, like Terex, a headquarter over in the United States. Metso, the
So
Finnish company,
finish one,
they own a number of brands of these machines here in Northern Ireland as well. And there's also a great trade between Northern Ireland on these machinery types, between India into coming up here as well. They've all seemed to have opened up new offices and new branches for manufacturing in India. The other area that's massively growing here in Ireland, and it's both north and south, is a data center and critical infrastructure.
Of course.
So the data center business, I suppose Ireland's been kind of leading in that because it's got so many IT companies here already in the country. But we've got a lot of engineering works for building up modular sort of data center buildings and all associated industries that go with it as well, supplying into those buildings.
It's very, very impressive. From a logistics standpoint, I'll ask a question now about the shipping lines. You know that some of the shipping lines, you know the names, they want to be forwarders nowadays. Do you see
Yes,
that
indeed.
also? You, of course, try to avoid those. And how do you see the situation in Ireland? They want to be the jack of all trades in your country as well?
Yes, they do. They do, in fairness. And then we also have some of the really big branded name forwarders. We don't need to mention, but everyone knows who they are. And they've set up all forwarding project divisions within their organizations as well. So that is a bit of a challenge. But I've always believed that shipping and logistics is a people business. And I do find myself being I get out and about and meet people face to face, see the eyeballs, and put on a smile and entertain and show off the knowledge that I have on what we have that can be beneficial to them as well.
Definitely. No, I think that's the right way. I mean, we have many who some I've heard some companies it's difficult even to get appointments with them, but still, I mean, online cannot replace the real thing, can it? I mean,
No.
it can complement but can't replace it for real, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can all see that the challenge with the online as well. And when I lived in San Francisco a number of years back, and I used to meet a lot of guys who were developing these apps and developing, we'll say freight forwarding logistics apps as well. And the problem with logistics and shipping is the human interface, really. Because that's once you've got a human interface in anything, you're going to have a problem. Not to say there's always going to be problems, but that is where, somebody types in an incorrect digit on a container number or a serial number on a machine or something, and then everything goes wrong as a result of it. So it's just it's important to be able to, if you do come across these problems, that you've got the right contacts and you've got the right people behind you, that you can resolve these issues quickly, as the need arises.
Yeah, and that's also what I hear, some complaints on some of the shipping lines. I mean, you get a call center in India, no disrespect to India, or a call center in Estonia or whatever, but even they have billions in profits. They don't have a, you can't talk to a person sitting in the UK talking your own language, sorting out the
Absolutely.
problem. I don't understand why they, why won't they spend money on providing that kind of service? It's
Yeah, it's
anecdotal.
crazy. It's funny. I actually was speaking to a representative of one of the very larger shipping lines, again, not saying any names there, recently, and she said to me that she actually believed that the shipping line had become just too big. It just became way too big, and they felt that they, like as an organization, like internally, that they couldn't fulfill the needs of their customers. And I can see it as a freight forwarder, and I understand the business, like you. You understand the business, but companies who are manufacturing are, especially in project cargo work as well, all they just want to do is get their product from A to B and not have to, they might understand there may be some technical issues in getting the cargo from A to B, but they don't want to have the hassle of it. And that's really where the likes of you and I, the middlemen, come in and take that hassle away. And we obviously take the hardship and take the hassles then on their behalf. But that's where we have to make our margin. That's our opportunity.
Of course, and we have to then, of course, that the shipping lines now have their own forwarding division means also that we have to be on our toes. I mean, we can't
Yes.
lean back, which is it's healthy for all of us, I suppose, in some ways. But what I find unhealthy is when the shipping lines see who you book cargo from, and then they immediately attack your customer by stabbing you in the back. I think that is pure style, poor style, and it should be, say, forbidden, so to speak. But at least if you know it, don't use them again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem, you said it there, don't use them again. But the problem is, with all of the consolidation and mergers within the shipping line and within the shipping industry, especially over, say since like the Great Financial Crisis, there are so few carriers out there nowadays. Like many years ago, I used to represent, I used to be a liner agent. And represent a number of different carriers and different trade lanes. But I'd say almost all of those carriers who I used to represent are all gone now. They've all been, consumed by the larger organizations now. And so it's very hard to avoid any of the carriers, whether it be on a Ro-Ro shipping line or whether it be on a container shipping line. It's just really, really hard to avoid them.
Well, we have to make sure we have a network within them, and then keep on with the
Exactly.
customer service. Can you refer to any, let's say, any major project you made recently out of Ireland that you handled in Logistics Plus?
I've been doing a lot of that, as I mentioned before, but data center work, and been moving many data center modular units from Ireland over to the continent, and assisting in the engineering and the installation of these units over there as well. We also have been moving many electric battery powered trucks from the UK out to Australasia as well. That's been a great one. And then recently, I just had the we just had just actually completed the project, but we moved in the first two specific Indian branded crushers into the UK from India. Putsalanas, they were called, and that project, many challenges from going from door to door, but we got it there, and we got it back in time for a show in the UK as well, which was great.
That is India is definitely coming as a production market, and is trying, I suppose, to compete
Oh yeah.
with China, both from a political standpoint and so I've seen many companies now really looking at India big time. Right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you
They
can
just
see.
probably they probably lack the infrastructure, maybe somewhat in relation to vis-a-vis against what China has produced over the last 20 or 30 years. But it is happening. It is happening, and it is rapidly changing over there in India as well.
Yeah, definitely.
There's definitely it's definitely a watch that space.
Watch that space. So basically, you're sitting in Ireland, you're part of a rather large, especially in the last couple of years, growing group, Logistics Plus. I know you have a good name both with the GE and others, and I've seen you in most markets of the world. And I'm conducting this interview from Chile. So it reminds me that when you have a chance to send me some contact details, I'll go and say hello to your colleagues.
I certainly will. I certainly
So,
will. I certainly will. They're good guys down there.
but listen, Bob, how do you see, one of the final questions here, how do you view, we're almost in the beginning, soon halfway, this year has is good for you already, or can you see what's in the crystal ball?
It's a funny one. So far, so good this year. We've actually had a really good 4 months. Yeah, myself and my colleague were just talking about it today. So far, so good. And it's had its challenges, let's say. And we all know where those challenges are. And I'm just kind of fearful if the Iranian situation kind of kicks off again, and it's the great unknown what's going to happen with that. Sometimes you just want to turn off the news channel at night, because too much negativity then gets into your head then for the next day, and you just in this game it's challenging enough. You don't need too much noise around at all then as well.
No. And of course, what we know with the news media is that bad news travel always faster than good news.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, it sells more, you know. I
Yeah.
remember I lived in Indonesia 97 to 2000, and there was riots in Jakarta, and then CNN had great big headlines, fire all over Indonesia. You know, they thought the whole Indonesia was on fire, you know. I mean,
Wow.
because people's perception is they pump up this every half an hour news with flashy pictures.
Yeah.
I've been
Yeah,
on a
and they're just trying to sell advertising space as well. So, yeah.
Exactly. I heard from some friends of mine in Dubai, they said everything is almost normal and they still go to work and play
Right.
golf. And then they get an SMS when they're incoming drones. Then they have to go inside. So I don't know. It's terrible as it is, but people underground cannot be replaced by media, right? So.
Absolutely, absolutely, and hopefully not robots either.
Now, the only media you can trust is Project Cargo Weekly.
Yes, that's exactly is. That exactly is.
Okay, listen, Bob. Great to talk to you. And as we both
Real
are,
pleasure, Bo.
as we both are Thin Lizzy fans, we have to kind of
Yeah.
stick together. And to those viewers who don't know who Thin Lizzy, the rock group, are, they are from a little bit the past with Phil Lynott. What do you say, Phil Lynott, Phil Lynott? I can't really.
No, Phil. Well, we'd say Phil Lynott, but
Phil
probably
Lynott.
Lynott is probably Phil Lynott is what we
Fill
say.
in.
Yeah, the coolest Irishman there ever was.
Yeah, cool. He was indeed.
He was
So,
really cool.
anyway, thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thank you very much.
You're
Take care.
welcome. And
All
to
the best.
all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Bob Kiewit. He's the Managing Director of Logistics Plus in Ireland, and Logistics Plus, part of the headquartered Erie, Pennsylvania group, which now encompasses the whole world with superb specialists in Project Cargo and other logistics solutions. So do contact him if you have any problem in Ireland or even the greater UK. Do talk to him. For me in Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and I will see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's about it. Now I have to just
Excellent.
put stop here. Where do I do that?
Enjoy that.
Where the hell, now I've forgotten where it is.
And
End me. Stop recording.
we'll be seeing.